chapter 2. Are you there? Is your Bible open? All right. Let's take a look. Remember that we're looking at, and we talked about the last time we got together, this book of Proverbs is the book on wisdom. And we talked about Jesus Christ being wisdom, and we talked about that the last time we got together. I can't go over it all. Tapes are available. You can always grab one of those and take a listen. We want to start in chapter 2 this way. Before I begin, remember King Solomon wrote most of this book of Proverbs, and he's writing to his son, but now this is not just to a boy. This is to all of us that are Christians, guys and girls alike. If you want to learn, you want to grow. Now, what he's going to say is this: my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear into wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you will receive my words. He's speaking the words of the Lord. He's writing these things down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration. To inspire means to breathe in, of course. To expire means to breathe out. God breathed in to these writers the words that he wanted them to write down. Here they are. And so Solomon says this: my son, if you will receive my words. And so he's going to give us some pointers on how to grow up. Now, as you're going to see that the Proverbs sort of really... I don't want to say it that way. I was going to say in chapter 11, you'll see him start breaking it down. Till then, it's more of a sermon to his child. Well, he says, if you will receive my words, God's word is to be received. The word means to take it in hand or to accept it. A lot of times you'll see people say, you know, I read my Bible in the morning before I go to work. Well, that's good, and that's a good thing. But you know, chances are good you may not be receiving his word. You're just kind of quickly going through and you're reading a little morning and evening. I noticed Charles Spurgeon emails quite a few of you and sends you his morning and evening. And you can read that, and that's kind of good. It's a warm fuzzy. It makes you feel nice. It gives you a little to think about. But the truth is, you're going to need to take some time to get into God's word and begin to receive it. Take hold of it. And I think that may be lacking in our lives. And it's lacking in this young man's life. And so Solomon says, if you will receive my words. Not just read them briefly, but you need to receive them. That means to take them in hand, to accept them, to let them get there. And he says, and hide my commandments with you. Receive them, take them in, and then hide them with you. Now, to hide them means to store them up. They need to be stored up somewhere. Of course, you know where. Keep them in your heart. They need to be stored up deep in your heart of hearts. Valued, stored up and valued as a treasure. The Word of God. And I quoted this to you last week. We may quote it every week till you have it memorized. Psalm 119, verse 11. Remember that? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We're going to receive God's word, take it in hand, accept it, but then we're going to store it up, lock it down in there. It needs to get into my heart, into your heart. Now, we can know the Bible and not have it in our hearts. You say, is there scripture to prove it? Well, of course there is. You can see the devil himself quote scripture. But is it in his heart? Does he believe it and act upon it? Well, of course not. Not at all. Very plain to see that the demons believe in God and tremble. The devil quoted to the Son of God. Go back to the early chapters of Matthew, Matthew 4, where he is being tempted, Jesus, in the wilderness, and the devil quoting from the Psalms. Is it in his heart? No. Is he receiving the word? Is the devil receiving? No. Is he storing it up into his heart? No. But you and I need to, number one, take it in hand, accept His word. And we also need to hide His commandments, store them up, keep them in our hearts. And Psalm 119:11 again. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. What's going to keep me paying attention to what's right, to what God wants? It's going to be the fact that, because there are many times, truthfully, you and I might be walking down the street, might be driving, might be in a business meeting, we might be in a telephone conversation, we might be standing in line at the drugstore or the super or something. We might not have our Bibles open in front of us. Isn't that true? I mean, did you today at any time, were you anywhere where your Bible wasn't open right in front of you? Yeah, probably most of the day. Yet, you didn't need it open in front of you, did you? Someone comes along and says, hey, the boss isn't around. Cash register's open. Let's take some money out of it. And you right away in your own heart thought, no, thou shalt not steal. Now, you might not remember that you saw that in the book of Exodus chapter 20. That may not cross your mind, but the word was still there, wasn't it? So you need to accept it, receive His word, and then it needs to be stored up, hidden in your heart. Verse 2 says, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. To incline your ear, well, in our language, another way we would say it is keep your ears open to wisdom. And be tuned into God's word and His voice. Now, He's giving us something. We'll take a look at it in a moment. We'll put it all together. He's giving you the simple formula. That's an ugly word. The simple formula. How to grow. How to grow up. How to remain on the path. How to simply walk with the Lord in faith. Walking in the right way. He's giving us the way to do it right here. My son, my daughter, he says, here's what you do. If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, and so that you incline your ear to wisdom and you apply your heart to understanding. Keep your ears opened for the voice of the Lord. Stay tuned in to the Word of God and to God's voice. Apply your heart to understanding. When the Word of God gets into your heart and you begin to, in His strength, practice the Word of God, you'll notice it brings with it what? Understanding. You begin to apply your heart to understanding. When you went to medical school, those of you that are doctors, when you went to medical school, you learned a whole lot of stuff. There came a time, and you got tested, and maybe you had to name all the bones and the muscle groups, and maybe, oh, who knows what kind of testing that you had to do. But there came a time when you had to now apply it, do something with it. You could say, I'm a neurosurgeon. Whoa. But have you ever worked on a neuro? I mean, have you ever done anything on the brain, or have you just studied about that? You can say, I'm a Christian. Great. Are you truly born again? Are you walking with the Lord? Walking in His will? That's what we all want to do. We want to grow up. And that's what He's telling us how here. So that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. When you begin to apply these, they're hidden in your heart. They're stored up. You begin to walk in these things. You begin to, the Spirit will say to you, hey, help that lady. And you'll say, no way. She's fine. She can handle it. No, you know, she's, open the door. Hey, see that guy's carrying a big load. Run over there and see if you could maybe take part of the load. Now, whenever that happens to you, that's the Spirit. Don't even think it's you. Either that would have never crossed your mind. You'd been going, I'd be going, whew, that looks heavy. Man. Oh, that's a big one. What happens? You begin to apply. What does he say? Let me use his language. Apply your heart unto understanding. Oh, you know, I should help carry the load. Maybe I should do this. Oh, I see someone who is in need of this. Or maybe someone looks like they're heartbroken. And you walk up and sometimes they don't want to tell you what's going on. And they don't have to. You can say, can we pray? Let's just pray together. I don't understand what's up with you. And I don't need to know, man. It's none of my business. But let's pray. You look like you're having troubles, right? You apply your heart to understanding. So it begins to work. Yea, verse 3. He says, if you cry after knowledge, ever think about that? And lift up your voice for understanding. Crying after knowledge. And I got thinking, now, how do you explain that one? How do you cry after knowledge? Well, it's in the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay, now that was easy to understand. Maybe you've never had children, but maybe you've been around them. And if you've been around little bitty babies, how do they act when they see their own bottle? You ever been around little babies and you can kind of tell they're crying, they're hungry, and you pull out the bottle wherever it comes from out of the refrigerator? What does the baby do? If the baby sees that and recognizes it, what does the baby do? They start wiggling everything they have. They start making noise. They don't want to wait for it. They start even yelling, don't they? You know, they'll when they see it, they'll cry. They really want that, don't they? Why? They're hungry. Isn't that true? If you don't know, when you have your babies, you'll see. And so Peter says, you be just like that. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. And you watch little babies, they want that bottle. Oh, wow, let me have that thing. Well, that's what he's saying. That's the language in verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 2. Cry after knowledge. We're supposed to be hungry for God's word. When we see it, when someone pulls it out, we go, man, I want that. Give me that. I want to read that too. Let me have it. That's the way we should be with God's word. Hungry to study His word. Every time there's a chance to study His word, wanting to learn, wanting to grow up and be strong in the Lord. Just like a newborn baby, they see their bottle, they want to eat. We should also pray, ask the Lord, I want to be hungry and thirsty for your word. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, for they shall be filled. And he says, you want to cry after knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Just to learn everything in the world? No, we're talking about wisdom. We're talking about the word of God. Also, lift up your voice for understanding. Lifting up your voice simply means we want to know. Have you ever seen riots at universities? How the students will gather together and they want to change something at the school. They'll carry signs, picket signs, and they'll walk up and down and they'll yell, we want our rights, we're students. You know, they are crying after something. They are lifting up their voice to be heard. We should be crying after the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. We should be wanting it. Now ask yourself this. Don't say, answer out loud. Do I do that with the Word of God? Or is it just, yeah, I better read today. I'm supposed to. I've got to, you know, read some. I think I'll, you know, I got this little devotional, Our Daily Lunch, you know, and I just read from that. And those are kind of nice. And, you know, they'll give you one little verse and a paragraph with a joke. And that's fine. But you really haven't had anything to eat. And of course, you know, we've talked about junk food. How you can eat junk food. I do that sometimes. And junk food, it makes you chubby. But it's really kind of, not me, I mean other people. What are you smiling at? But they tell me that those are empty calories. And they taste good. That's probably why they don't want us to have it. But they're empty calories. They're not doing you a whole lot of good. Some of the books that you are reading, God bless you, those probably aren't doing you a whole lot of good. They're interesting, I'm sure. You wouldn't be reading them. But they can be empty calories. and build your head up and make you think that this or that. Or, you know, I don't want to say anything because if I say anything, it's going to offend everybody. In case you're reading that book, so I don't want to say that. You know me, I would not want to offend a soul. Cry after knowledge. Lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, as silver, search for her as for hid treasure. Then what does he say? Then you shall understand the reverence, the fear of the Lord. Isn't that what he says? And find the knowledge of God. Now that's interesting. That it's then that you'll begin to understand, begin to reverence God. You'll begin to see some growth in your own life. There'll begin to be something solid about you. All right, let's put it all together. Because I went slowly there, and so it may be broken up to you. So let's put it all together. What do we do with God's wisdom, God's word? First, take it in hand, accept it. Next, store it up, keep it in your heart. Then keep your ears open and tuned to God's word and to his voice. Next, allow it to get into your heart and practice it. Then cry after it, be hungry for it, lift up your voice. Then seek or search for it, for the wisdom and the understanding, as you seek for silver. Search through God's word. Notice, it is not just a simple, open my Bible, I'm going to read three verses, I've done my Bible reading, God will bless me, hallelujah, I mean, praise me. Wait a minute. Have you done those things when you opened the word of God? Did you sit down long enough to say, Lord, I want to know. I'm hungry. I don't understand what you mean when you say this. I'm not even practicing that in my life. I seem to have a stinking attitude here. Show me, search my heart. Show me what's up. What am I missing? And you begin to really search for what's going on. It has to become more to you than just, we don't worship the Bible. That would be foolish. We worship God, and Him only do we serve. But this is His Word. This is just what He wanted to say to you. He will speak to you. And what amazes me is that people read it, and they'll say, I don't know. I don't know if I understand it. Well, did you just stop, ask the Lord to explain to you, and spend time there? No, I didn't have time. I got to get to work. Well, then, if you're doing it before work, get up earlier. Give it a little bit more time. Maybe instead of eating that junk food, then at lunch, run out to your car or go, if you've got a place in the office, get alone privately and open it up and say, all right, I got some time. Help me to understand this. Grow me up. I want my Bible like a baby sincerely or desiring the sincere milk of the word is what he says. Take it in hand, accept it, store it up, keep it in your heart. Keep your ears open and tuned to God's word. Allow it to get into your heart and practice it. Cry for knowledge, be hungry. Lift up your voice. Search as you would search for silver. How would you search for silver? If you thought, and there's silver up in this area, we all know that. If you thought that in that backyard of yours there was some silver, how would you search? Go out and look around. I don't see any. Must not be any. No, if you thought it was there, you might be a little bit more diligent than that. You might really put some time in it. You might even dig up some of your flowers if you think the silver might be in that area. You might begin to spend a little bit of money. You might really start putting some energy and some of your life into this thing. I think it's here. You're going to dig. You're going to look. You're going to be hungry and start to take it in and store it in there. We've talked about this over and over, but I think you're going to find a pattern through Scripture. God's going to say, this is my word, listen. This is my word, do this. Keep my words and live. Find rest and peace and joy. All the things that everybody wants, and they'll tell you, we don't have it. Start to do by His strength what it says to do. But you say, that's too hard. I'm sure it is. It's hard for all of us because we're all in different areas. And different places of growth. He says, for the Lord... Now, this is interesting. You're going to really get diligent about your Bible study. And the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I've heard people say, and they've said it to me, probably you've heard him say it too, my IQ is too low. I don't have the ability to read the Bible and understand it. And some people believe that about themselves. They'll say, I try to read the Bible, but I don't get the same thing you do. So you must be smarter than me. No, it's got nothing to do with brain. If it had something to do with brain power, well, many of us would be left behind. What does that have to do with? I'll read it to you again. The Lord gives wisdom. It's got to do with God. Will you diligently seek Him? Will you start to search in His Word for understanding and for wisdom? Then He will give you the very thing you're looking for. The Lord gives wisdom. It's not your IQ. It's not your amazing ability to study. It's not the fact that you could spend 20 hours in study and someone else can only spend 2. It's the fact that you've got in your heart this desire, this hunger and thirst. Lord, I want to see. I want to know You. I want to understand. Grow me up. I really want to, when I read in Your Word, if I've only got a few minutes, Lord, help me to understand, to digest this, to hide it. Help me to memorize it in here. The Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. This is what we read. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. It shall be given to him. If you need to know what to do, if you need wisdom in a certain area, if you're looking to make decisions, if you need to know what to do, James chapter 1 verse 5 tells you what? Ask God. Well, how do we know God will answer? Well, go back to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. He's the one. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Isn't that interesting? Sure, I need to spend my time before the Lord in the Word. But as I diligently seek, God is going to give it. What did He say? Sermon on the Mount. Ask and what? You shall receive. Seek and what? You shall find. Knock and what? Shall be open. How's it going to happen? Because I'm so great at asking? No. Because my heart's there, I'm diligently searching, and God's going to give freely. He gives the wisdom. He gives the knowledge. He gives the understanding. It's not because we're so smart. It's because He's so good. And He's so loving. And anyone who comes to Him, He would in no way turn them away. 1 Corinthians. If you're taking notes and write down these scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I know these are very common. These are real familiar to you, these verses right here. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 and 10. Listen closely. You'll see how this all fits together. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Make sense? You're going to begin to spend time in the presence of God, taking the Word in. Into your heart, practicing by His strength, God will begin to reveal wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to you. And so you'll take a young man, and he'll say, I just feel called of the Lord to teach Bible studies. And you'll watch as this young fella begins to teach, and God blesses him, gives him that gift of teaching. He begins to teach. His Bible studies become strong. And people look at him, and what's one of the first things they want to know? Where did you go to school? Isn't that true? And doesn't it freak them when the fellow says, "Well, I never got the opportunity to go to school. I couldn't afford it, couldn't do it." Those of you that can go to Bible college, you are very blessed. Thank him and take every advantage of it. But understand, it's not your IQ that's working this all out. It's God himself. Now, I don't know. That ought to make you feel better. That's good news to me. I don't have to figure out ways to try and increase an IQ. I can't, you know, I've tried. It doesn't work. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Now, out of his mouth, everybody, I'll say it again. How can we hear God speak? If it comes out of his mouth, how are we going to hear him speak? Well, you go to the churches that are really, really on fire, and God will out loud speak. The rafters will shake and the lights will break. No. No, you're going to hear him speak right here. Does God speak to you in other ways? Oh, yeah, he can. He's God. He can talk out loud from the mountaintop. He can talk out of a cloud. He can yell at you, go in one ear, and hopefully stick in there somewhere. But how do you figure, under normal circumstances, in an everyday situation, how do you think he's going to speak to you? How do you think, out of his mouth, where's it going to come from? His word. Have you ever wondered what God wants you to do today? Have you ever just stopped and said, "Lord, I got some time on my hands. What do you want me to do?" How would you get the answer to that? Where would you? Would you wait until a feeling, an emotion came upon you to go to the beach? Would you try to get in touch with your ascended master and channel one of the angels who could deliver the message? Or would you open God's word and begin to search? "Lord, show me your will. Show me how to understand. Show me what you want for me." Which one would you do? I hope that you would open the word of God and listen to him. Because the Bible says clearly, the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth, wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You listen to God. Now, verse 7 says, "He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment, and he preserveth the way of his saints." Good news. You know, that's pretty good news. Because many people today, Christians included, really don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They are so confused. "I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, and I just don't know what to do." And what does God just tell us in verses 7 and 8? He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. That means it's available. We just need to dig a little. We just need to search him, put our hearts into it. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That would be a defense. That's what a buckler is. He is your defense. And he keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. See, we see here that God himself directs your paths. You're going to see that not far from this chapter. You'll see it again very clearly. God himself, he's the one that will. "Lord, which way do you want me to go? After I graduate from high school, I got a choice of I can rob banks or I could go to the university. Lord, which one do you want?" Now, go to his word and see. Maybe he wants you to rob banks? No. You already know that from having some of his word in your heart, don't you? "Lord, I have a choice. I could become a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief. Now I look to you. What do you want me to do? What would you have for my life?" And you begin to seek diligently the Lord. And he'll direct your path. So don't be far from the word of God at all times. Don't be far. Verses 7 and 8 are clear. God's going to be your defense. So you don't want to stray far from God's word. "Then you shall understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, every good path." So there's a promise for understanding. The Lord wants to guide you. He wants to guide me. God wants, He is your Father, and He wants you to come to Him as His Father. He wants to give you direction. He wants to guide you. I know that many times we just want Him to drop it out of a cloud. Just drop a little note. Could you leave it on my car when I come out of work? I'll just read the note and I'll do it. He has. He has given you this love letter. He's given it to you. Some people call this the instruction manual. Now, when it comes to instruction manuals, I feel like they're not from the Lord, except this one. All other instruction manuals, those are for brains. Brains read instruction manuals, all the rest of us click buttons until it breaks or works. But in this particular case, here is your instruction manual. This shows you how to operate this equipment that you've been given. And He is the manufacturer, so He would know how it works. He built you, so He knows how you're built and how you work. So you want to go to the instruction manual, to the user's manual here, and you want to seek the Lord. The Lord wants to guide you. And keep in mind, after reading verses 7, 8, and 9, keep in mind, He is your defense. He is the defense for His own children. He does love you. So mark that in your Bible somewhere. You can write this down. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He does love you. You say, God, prove that you love me. I don't feel like you love me. Prove that you love me. He will have you open your Bible so that you can see Jesus on the cross. Every time you think, I don't think God loves me, just open your Bible again and look at Jesus on the cross. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For 17 and 18 goes on. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. 1 John 5, 11, 12, and 13. Doesn't that say something like, and this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son? He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God does not have life. I write these things that you could know that you have life. God loves you. Whenever you begin to feel that He doesn't or begin to doubt, open His Word and see Jesus on the cross. And you'll remember, yes, God loves me. And He is my defense. Now, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant into your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil men, from the man that speaks froward things. It's a growing process. At first, you'll be deceived. As a young believer, you and I can be fooled pretty easily. A teacher could come on the radio or on the television, or you could go to the Bible study and that teacher could tell you something, and you're young in the Lord and you think, okay, right on, cool, that's right, that sounds right. Or they give you a bunch of materials to read and you read and you think, oh, that's right. But as you begin to grow some, then when you grow some, you start saying, well, wait a minute, this doesn't sound solid. Something seems wrong with this. I can't remember exactly what the Bible says, but it seems to be going against what God says. And you run back to your Word and you see, Lord, now what did you say? Tell me what you said about this. And you start to check and you start to see what happens. When wisdom enters into your heart, he says, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. What'll it do? It'll deliver you from the way of evil people. From the man that speaks froward things. Froward, that's not a word we use. The word we use is perverse or perverted. You know, some people pervert the gospel. They preach a false gospel. They make it sound right. They'll even take some scriptures out and around and put it together. And you go, well, yeah, the Bible does say that. So I guess, yeah, I should give you all my money and everything and give you my car, and I should become and that's what some people do. The Lord's telling me that there's someone here going to give $10,000. The Lord's telling me that you should give me your watch. And, you know, you've heard those nightmare stories. And it turns out to not be true. You know, a guy walks up to the girl and says, Lord told me. I remember Reverend Willis, who was, he preached for 77 years. And right around 40 years old, he was teaching at a church over on the island there in the London area. And he saw a girl in about the fourth row. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, you marry her. And of course, you know, just being the way he was, he walked up to her after the meeting and said, you know, the Lord has told me that I should marry you. She had a beautiful response. She goes, he has said nothing to me. They did end up marrying. But you see, discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the ways of evil people. He wasn't evil, but you know, she was smart. If the Lord tells me that, I'll call you. You know, and of course, I'm sure you've had opportunity for someone to come up to you and say, brother, I have a prophecy for you. What is it? Remember, the first time I went into Africa, the night before I left, someone came to me and said, the Lord told me tonight that if you go, you will die. That was a great feeling. And I said, man, couldn't God have told you a week ago? I'm giving you a little time to cancel everything. I can't cancel. It's too late. And then the second time I went into Africa, someone came up to me and told me the same thing. The Lord said, if you set foot on that plane, you will be killed in Africa. You will not return. And I'm thinking, I hate it when people do that to me. Because they don't ever do it in time where you can really pray about it. They do it, well, you're leaving tomorrow morning early, and I'm telling you tonight. Well, what do you, the guys are, they've got me scheduled. They're counting on me. It's all set up. You think God would have mentioned this in plenty of time for me to at least pray about it? So I tell them that I'm not coming back. Because I feel like God's telling me to go. Bad news for you is I came back. And I'm not apologizing. That's your problem. What do I don't know. Need those people come to this church today because I didn't listen to them. To deliver you from the way of evil man. You know, there are people out there who really don't care about you, but you can't tell it. You need discretion. You need discernment. You need to be able to understand. Where am I going to get that kind of? Where do I get discretion? Where do I get discernment? Where is that going to come from? From my education? From my amazing common sense? No, it's called common sense because everybody's got it. It's common. We need uncommon sense. We need something a little higher there. We need wisdom. And the wisdom from above is first what? Pure. We need to look straight to God for these things. Notice what he's saying is, they'll deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks forward things. That means you won't be taken in if you stay close to the Lord. If you stay in His Word, you're not going to be taken in by the things that people are telling you or the things that are going on around you. And let's face it, aren't we at times easily taken in? We are. Someone comes along and says to you, hey, you know, that group of people, they're no good. And you look at that group of people and you don't like their looks anyway. And so you say, yeah, you're probably right. Hold it now. You may have been taken in. Go to God's Word. Let's go see what God says about these people. I think you might be surprised that God says He loves them. Now, maybe if they're doing things that are no good, maybe you certainly don't want to become a part of that group and do them with them. But certainly you're not going to judge them nor condemn them. You're going to pray for them, aren't you? You're going to start saying, well, wait a minute. Let's see what God's Word says about this. So that you're not taken in. We all want to feel like we're a part of a group. Well, the bigger the group, the better. But we do want to feel like we're part of the group. We don't like being a part of a group that's outcast. You see those over there? Oh, they think they're something. Look at those. They're outcast. They're bad. We don't like being part of that. So we have a tendency, instead of doing what God says, to join up. You know, we're funny because we all want to be individuals and seen as individuals. I've told you before, that's why we dress alike, use the same kind of language, pierce ourselves, tattoo ourselves. That's why we wear our hair, because we want to look individual. And looking individual obviously includes looking just like everybody else. Go to the high school. I was at one of the high schools just a couple months ago, and walk down the halls and you think, wow, there's a bunch of individuals here. None of their clothes fit. Their clothes don't, they don't have sizes for high schoolers. Except for, you know, because some of the skirts were way too small. And I thought, well, that's too bad. And some of the pants were way too big. You know why we do that. You know why we do it. Because we're individuals. We don't like to stand out. And so we stand out with the others. You could be taken in if you're not careful. By evil people. By people that don't really care about your soul. If you stay close to the Word of God, stay close to the Lord. Now remember, the word forward means froward. Froward, thank you, means perverse. Or perverted. Or foul things. Verse 13. They leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. That's what these evil people do. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of the wicked. You know, there's an old saying. It's kind of a cliche, kind of a proverb kind of thing. Remember, we talked about this. Misery loves company. When we're miserable, we don't want to be miserable alone. When we know that we're out of fellowship with the Lord and our attitude is wrong, we don't really want to hang out with people who are in fellowship and their attitude is right. Do you notice that about us? We want to hang out with the people that, you know, when your attitude is no good, then you find you seem to be attracted to other people whose attitudes are no good. If you can get enough of those going in one church, you can have a really nice, solid church split. If you can get enough of them together. If somebody looks at you and goes, man, your attitude stinks. Instead of them saying, you know, you're right, pray for me. They go, oh, you're judging me, brother. And here we go. That's what he's saying. You want to stay in the Word. Don't be taken in by evil companions. Don't have evil companions. Watch out for them. They leave the paths of righteousness to walk in ways of darkness. They rejoice to do evil. That's what they want to do. And not only that, but they delight in the perverseness of the wicked. They're kind of glad when other people get in the same kind of trouble they do. Because misery does love company. Oh, I'm glad you got in that trouble too. You know, when I was young, got in trouble at school, I always hated when I had to go to the principal's office by myself. Because there's nobody to back you up. I liked it when guys would join in with me and get in trouble too. Come on, let's do something stupid. No, come on. And they go, okay. Because you don't want to get in trouble all alone. Nobody does. And the wicked, you know, the devil, he knows he's going to hell. You know, his goal is to take as many of you as he can with him. So if you're born again, he can't get you now. So what's he going to do? Try to give you a miserable trip to heaven. That's all. Try to mess you up, take away that peace, rob that joy, because he can't get you. But here these evil people are. So you want to not be taken in. Now, not only these evil men, whose ways are crooked and their perverseness, they are perverse in their paths in all the ways they walk. But now also he says that discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you to deliver you from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flatters with her words. Strange woman in this particular instance looks like it's referring to foreign women from Israel. He's talking to his son. This is a Jewish dad talking to his Jewish son. He's talking about foreign women. The ladies that practiced prostitution that were Israelites, usually when they were caught, they were stoned to death. You would stand them in a horse trough or a feeding trough full of manure. You would stand them in it, and they would stone them to death until they fell down dead into the manure, which wasn't a really positive in your life. And so you'd want to try to avoid that. So there weren't as many prostitutes as we have nowadays, because nothing happens to them. But in those days, they would put them to death. So the foreign women found a real money market. You see, because the Israeli women, they kind of stayed away from that because they'd be put to death. So the foreign women would come in and really try to make a killing here, make a lot of money. So he says, you stick in the Word of God, and that's going to what? Discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you from that strange woman. Even from the stranger which flatters with her words. This young man is being warned about this woman. Here's something that's interesting. At least I think it's interesting. Watch this. For her house inclines unto death, and her paths unto the dead. And you have to think about that a second. Verse 18 says, verse 17 says, they forsake the guide of her youth. They forget the covenant of her God. Because of that, her house inclines or leads to death. Her paths lead to death. None that go into her return again. Hear that? None that go into her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. If you look in the original language, that means they lose their health. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, you and I are familiar with the fact that doctors now understand that venereal disease is a dangerous thing. It's that sexually transmitted diseases are transmitted sexually. We know that now. There was a time they didn't understand that. But the wisdom of God told this young man, you're not going to have your health. You start visiting these women, you will die. You will lose your physical health and die. Her paths lead to death itself. Your physical body is going to be destroyed. Isn't that interesting? We still know that today. But does it stop the promiscuity? You know why it doesn't? Because people will not listen to the Word of God. They will not apply their hearts to wisdom. They listen to the god of lust or the god of sex or the god of whatever, the false gods. What did God say? The first commandment. What did Jesus say is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That includes staying away from things when God says they'll kill you. Isn't that interesting? Do people do it? No. Does God still love them anyway? Sure. Jesus died for the sins of the world. But here, you are being given wisdom. We are being given wisdom right straight from God Himself, who says, none that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, so that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the mature and the complete shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the sinner, the transgressors, shall be rooted out of it. To root out means to dig up something, pull it up by its roots. You've probably done weeding in your garden or in your yard, and you rip it out by the roots. You see, the wicked are finally going to be ripped out by the roots. It's in Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, the psalmist is complaining that the sinners are having a big party. He's complaining that when they cheat on their income taxes, they seem to get away with it. He says, I watch them. They cheat, they steal, they lie, and they are prospering. Their businesses are booming. They're getting away with it. Guys are cheating on their wives. Wives are cheating on their husbands. They're all getting away with it. It seems like God's allowing their businesses to grow. Seems like their health is strong. Their health seems to be better than the people that are trying to do it God's way. And the psalmist says, man, this is so hard for me to understand. I almost slipped. I almost thought I'm going to act just like them. They're doing it and getting away with it. Why should I make my life miserable? Why don't I just dive into the party? I almost slipped and went their way, he says. Until what? Psalm 73, verse 15. Until I entered into the sanctuary of God. Went to church. Into the temple area. Into the presence of the Lord. Then I understood their end. Then I was reminded of where this is going to lead them, of what this is going to be in the long run. I'll read it to you again. The wicked, Proverbs 2:22. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and their transgressors, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. I know. The Bible says sin seems pleasurable for a season. And that's what the psalmist said. How come they're doing all this and getting away with it? What about me? My foot almost slipped. I almost went their way till I entered into the presence of God and recognized what this is going to get them, where this is going to take them, how this is all going to end. Think about these things. And give yourself diligently to the Word of God. Become men and women and young people of the Word. Begin to read God's Word and like He's going to speak to you in it. Open His Word and say, Lord, show me what You're trying to say. Let me hear. Take it seriously. And you'll see God will begin to give you the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding. And others are going to look at you and go, man, you're so young. How do you understand so much? Did you go to school with it? No, I went before the Lord. And God Himself will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He loves you. Read through it again tonight before you go to bed. Pray about it. Seek the Lord. And stay in His Word. Let's pray.